If history is any guide, there will be more than 6,000 marriages today in the United States. There are more than 2 million per year. The average wedding cost, more than $30,000, according to a recent study. Reminds you of Martin Short describing expensive cakes to Steve Martin as the wedding planner in Father of the Bride.
So this is a very popular cake for the men of the fashionable weddings, you know. And this, I just don't do anymore. And this is fabulous.
Oh, that is incredible. Annie, that's just like the one we saw in the magazine. Mm-hmm. Do you like it, Dad?
Well, what is that? Is that dollars? $1,200?
Blood and muscle, nice. This is a very reasonable price for a cake of this magnitude.
Okay. Well, one of the most well-respected party planners around today has just come out with a book called A Great Party with Photos and Tips. The author is Brian Raffinelli, who's put on extravagant weddings and a number of state dinners at the White House. He's been named one of the top wedding designers in the world by Vogue, and he joins me now. Welcome.
Hello, Jeremy.
So the foreword in this book is by Chelsea Clinton, and you did her wedding. And she says that nothing ever feels repeated with you, that you would never copy yourself from one event to another. Why is that? How is that possible?
Well, look, I'm not I'm a creative guy, and I don't want to repeat anything. And if you look at the book, this is a collection of work over a decade, and everything is different. You know, it's not the same. I don't want it to be the same, but more important is that my clients' stories are not the same. So how could I repeat the same thing? It doesn't make sense to me.
Well, and when you say stories, this is a big part of what you do, is in each event or in each wedding or what a state dinner, you're telling a story.
Right. So, I mean, state dinner is a great example of saying, okay, the state dinner for UK, let's reflect that state, we're, you know, that country, rather, we're celebrating that country. I mean, if it's your wedding, then what is your story? Like, I want to make sure that this is not my wedding. It's actually your wedding. And so how do I reflect who you are? So actually, your friends will walk away, right? And they'll say, wow, they really got you. Not, oh my God, the flowers are amazing, or that band. I mean, all those things should be amazing, but this is your moment to celebrate your marriage, or this is your moment to celebrate your birthday, or whatever the occasion is. And so I believe in storytelling.
So how does that play out then for you? Let's take the UK state dinner. Mm-hmm. At the White House, you put that together in the Obama administration. How does that play out?
Well, what's interesting about that is, you know, the first step is really having the State Department or protocol sort of tell us the likes and dislikes of the leader that we're celebrating. And that's always fairly interesting stuff. But at the same time, you know, Mrs. Obama really wanted to reflect the White House, the country, the United States. It was there. Dinner that they were honoring the UK. So it was really looking at that. Now, that might be through a sense of color. That could be menu items. I mean, those are the classic things to go to try to say, well, you know, who is Prime Minister Cameron and how should we fete him?
You talked about doing the state dinner for Japan, and you were so happy that Michelle Obama walked in with the Japanese leader into a room that you had decorated with cherry blossoms mm-hmm. inside the White House.
Right. So the cross hallway. So in the book, there's this beautiful photograph of the cross hallway, and there are hundreds and hundreds of cherry blossoms and these giant, like 10-foot gold vases all the way down the hallway. And that's that iconic shot whenever the president comes out to make some major statement. Right. So there it is. She looks down that hallway and she's aghast because she had never seen that many cherry branches inside a home, probably in Japan, you know, gifted all these beautiful cherry trees to us. But that was that moment. And so think about that, being the prime minister's wife and saying, wow, look what they've done for us. Look at the way they treated us tonight.
How did you get into this in the first place? You talk about how your mom always threw parties.
Right. So I dedicated the book to my mother, and I say that she celebrates everything, which is the story of like my childhood, of family of five. We're the only kids on both sides. So literally every single thing. And I think every American family, let's say your birthday, or, you know, you get an A in school, or I'd win a track meet. It was always a celebration in my house. So it was in my DNA that this was just a normal thing to do, that we would always celebrate everything.
And decorate for every celebration?
Well, oh, definitely decorate. I mean, my mother's house, you should see it at Christmas, at Halloween, at Thanksgiving, on St. Patrick's Day. I tell the story in the book on St. Patrick's Day. You know, my father used to put green food coloring literally in everything, our pancakes, our scrambled eggs, our milk, anything he could get his hands on, actually to make fun of my mother, who was Irish and he was Italian. But that was a part of the deal of like just making everything beautiful or exciting or funny.
I want to get to some of the lessons that you talk about in this book for people to take away from, even if they're not putting on a party of the size that you are. And there's some beautiful photographs of some of the parties, and I just don't even want to know what the cost was for these things. But you talk about some lessons, and one of them is you call it shoulders and above. Mm-hmm. What does that mean?
Well, what it means is, being in this business for two decades, of having a client worrying about the color of the napkins or the little flowers on the table, or the tablecloths or the chairs. Not that they're not important, but especially in a cocktail party, if a room is filled with 200 or 300 people, what do you see? You see 200 to 300 people, and then you see everything above their shoulders. Mm-hmm. So if you want to make impact, if you want to make a splash, if you want them to feel something, you better make it big and make it in eyesight.
So high up in the
high
room.
High up, but at least, at the very least, above the shoulders in the room, and not worry about the little stuff. Like, worry about the big stuff. And that's one of my Raffinelli rules of, like, think big. You know, at the holidays at the White House, we made these giant Bo and Sunny dogs, right? They were 6 feet.
These are the President Obama's dogs, right? Were named Bo and Sunny, right? And you made huge.
Giant ones. 6 foot, 8 foot, 5 feet wide, made out of 30,000 knit bows that we tied onto really chicken wire. They were huge. But when you walked into the White House, what did you see? You saw Bo and Sonny welcoming you as soon as you came in. And everybody, not just the children, wanted to have their pictures with these giant dogs.
You'll remember that.
Forever.
You also say, and I found this interesting because I've had a number of surprise parties. Well, not that many, actually, recently, because when I was a kid, I was such a brat when there would be a surprise party that nobody would ever want to throw them for me again. But you say no one likes a true surprise.
That's true. So this is what I recommend, is that you're going to throw a party for your husband, your best friend, your wife, whatever it may be. I would give them the date and the guest list, and then everything else is a surprise.
So the party itself is not a surprise.
Right. So there's none of that kind of craziness of how do I look? How do I feel? What do I have the next morning? It's a true, like, this is so thoughtful, but then all of the details, that's what happens in my birthday party, my 50th birthday parties in the book. I knew nothing other than the date and the guest list.
You also talk about beauty in numbers, that when you're decorating for an event, that just by having, let's say, 100 wine bottles mm-hmm. on the wall,
right,
that's going to be more impressive for people, maybe even than one huge wine bottle or something like that.
Well, there's two ideas in that story, right? So if you're having 100 people over for a cocktail party, you have a lot of wine. You have a couple of cases, maybe 5 cases of wine. Well, do something with those things, right? So if you mass out all the wine bottles, there's a beautiful photograph in the book of a holiday party we threw, and there was over 600 people coming. So we had almost 3,000 bottles of wine, and we just massed it out onto this giant wall and made this huge impression. So I'm always saying to my friends and my family and my clients, like, let's just multiply this thing. Not one beautiful inflatable unicorn in the swimming pool. Let's have 20. You know, it's a simple idea, but it will make a big impact.
Do you ever deal with bridezillas?
Of course. Now, look, especially weddings, they're complicated. Like, you know, there's a lot of influencers. There's a lot of expectations of how your wedding's supposed to be. You're supposed to have a color, and you're supposed to have this, and you're supposed to have that. So I think that's a lot of pressure, especially on a young bride, to try to figure this all out and figure out who she is at the age of 26. I mean, I think it's different when you get married like I did at 55, right? That's different. You know more. You know who you are. But when you're young, you're suddenly thrown into throwing this giant celebration to and please everyone. That can make you difficult.
A lot of people will remember when the Supreme Court ruled that same-sex marriage was constitutional, that the White House was lit in the rainbow colors of the rainbow flag. What did you have to do with that?
Well, you know, I love this. I love this image in the book. It was so important to me to get it in there. you know, I'd done so much work with the team, with the Obama administration, with the First Lady, that they actually came to me and said, we have this idea. We want to light the White House. What do you think? So I dove in head first, got my lighting designer, got all the equipment, and literally for weeks and weeks and weeks tested this out on the White House. Like late at night, we'd take a corner of the White House and light it blue or light it red to see what it was going to look like.
Without anybody noticing.
Without anybody knowing.
Even though there are cameras trained on the White House 24 hours a day.
Well, isn't that fascinating, right? But the idea of like waiting, you know, like it might happen tomorrow, Brian. It might have, oh, it's not going to happen Friday, so it's going to happen next week. So that's literally what was happening in real time that I had to keep figuring out. We finally just put the equipment out there. We covered it up with tarps and we waited. And then we got the call and it rained the night before. So we actually had to switch out some of the light fixtures because it got wet in the rain. But eventually we had this amazing portrait of the White House in a rainbow.
And what kind of reaction did you hear to that from people who knew that you were involved?
Well, quite honestly, for a long time, I never even mentioned it to my friends. You know, I did it. I did it as a friend of the White House, and I wanted to do that. But over time, I mean, the impact and, you know, seeing it on the cover of Time magazine and everywhere it shows up, I was like, wow, like we did that. We helped with that. We helped make that happen.
That is Brian Raffinelli, whose new book is called A Great Party, Designing the Perfect Celebration. Brian, thanks so much.
Thank you.
It's my party and I'll cry if I want to, cry if I want to, cry if I want to. You would cry too if it happened to you.
And we've got some pictures from the parties we talked about, including that huge Beau and Sonny at hereandnow.org.